the guys who he trusted are not trustworthy right now. But it runs into a problem. Nate and I did a we did a Sunday recording for Dunked On that ended up being 2 hours, but we did a segment on this game. And one of the weirdest parts of it is it's like, well, yeah, but the other players they have, while I think of them as good, they've basically been on ice for most of the time in the bubble. Right. Like Roddy McGruder. I like Roddy McGruder. I think he would have been playing consistent minutes for me the whole time. I like Jermichael Green has been playing.
Jermichael Green's been good in this series.
He's been good. But like Roddy McGruder, maybe some Patrick Patterson, though he might be toast. And, you know, some of those other kind of support players, they haven't played at all. And so, yes, you could make an argument, especially against this specific opponent, some of those guys would be better than Harrell and Lou, given their specific limitations.
Well, and you haven't even mentioned the big one yet. And it's that Pat Beverly isn't totally right from having missed time. And because Beverly isn't right, I think he's kind of just being super hyper-aggressive Pat, because that's who he is, but because he's just like, you know, 10% off of his axis right now, he's getting into foul trouble regularly, and like he could only play 18 minutes yesterday, and when Beverly can only play 18 minutes, that means you have to play Lou Williams 25 minutes, whereas you might have been anticipating only having to play him 18 minutes, right? So that's the big one for me. Like if Pat Beverly's on the court, you don't have to play Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell at the same time. And frankly, you don't have to, period. Like, you could play lineups of Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Morris, Jermichael Green, and, you know, whoever you want to put on the court, right? You could say Lou Williams. You could say Landry Shamet. You could say, you know, X, Y, and Z, right? But because Beverly is, you know, not has not been very good in this series, because I think he's slightly, you know, off of his axis right now for a multitude of reasons. Like he got hurt early in the bubble and he had a friend pass away. So like, I don't even mean to like blame this on Pat necessarily, who seems to be going through a lot. It's more that because he isn't totally right, it throws off everything the Clippers want to put together on the on the court defensively, just in terms of lineup structure.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Though worth noting that Beverly is a high foul player all the time. I mean, he's basically been around 4 fouls or more per 36 minutes his entire career. And that is extremely high for a guard.
Right, like but like... compare.
But it's ramped up because he's trying to make up for physical capability with intensity. And when you're already a high foul player, that will lead to even more fouls. And I 100%. Think that's a great point. And yeah, so that, and that's another way you can talk about depth. And I mean, Marcus Morris has been better in some games in the series, but he was a total non-factor in game 6. And that's a challenge as well. You know, like you have this idea of, okay, what guys can we trust? What guys other... And I thought that Kawhi and Paul George, overall, not unilaterally, but I think overall they had pretty good game 6s. George got to the foul line a bunch of times. Kawhi had this really strong stretch in the first half where he's impactful in offense and defense and grabs some big rebounds. But you're going to need other guys to contribute. And the Nuggets, one of the strengths of their team is that they do, like, because of the strength of especially Jokic as a passer, they often put those players in position to succeed. Yep. And they also have guys with pretty good skill sets. I mean, Millsap had that crazy 14-point quarter in game 5. And then you have, you know, Grant hasn't had as many moments in this series, but he could theoretically. Gary Harris has hit some shots. He's been wonderful defensively.
Yeah. Porter's had some big moments, especially.
Porter's had
some
big moments too. And so also like the Nuggets they've also had this interesting thing where they haven't had to rely. They've been able to turn away from players if they aren't a specific fit in that moment or in that game. So like Mason Plumlee played 8 minutes in game 6 because they had Jokic play 40. And it's not like they were going small and doing something revolutionary. No, they just had their players can play a little bit more. And Jokic, his ability, his talent didn't reduce as much, you know, by extending him. And certainly he's extended. It's not like, oh my God, he could play 48 minutes a night or something crazy like that. But, you know, that meant that there were more Jokic Harrell minutes because Doc wasn't comfortable playing Zubats more than about 30, and he wasn't comfortable playing without one of those two guys on the floor, really.
Well,
so,
can I just be honest too? Like, I think Zubats has not been very good
either. I think he's been inconsistent. So it's
hard to deal with Nikola Jokic. I totally get that. Like, Nikola Jokic is going to make a lot of people look bad because he's just like a special dude. But every time he's involved in a perimeter pick and roll, it's just going to lead to an open shot for the Nuggets every time.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. I mean, I see where you're coming from. And I think that there's something there, but Zubats, He provides help around the rim in those circumstances. So you are conceding something. But I think that the challenge for the Clippers is when you go small, you have to actually have the wings to pull it off. And they do in a kind of theoretical full-strength sprint.
Right.
You know, they absolutely have the guys to make that happen. But if we're talking about 30 minutes of a 48-minute game, I don't think they have the horses right now. And so that means Zubats is not perfect, but he's the best they can do.
Right. And I when I say that Zubats hasn't been very good, I still think Zubats should be playing like 18 to 22 minutes a night. Because you just need that many minutes to guard Nikola Jokic and keep everyone fresh and deal with things. But overextending him at 30 minutes is not a good decision, in my opinion. Again, like I think they should be using Kawhi on him. Because at the end of the day, A, you're either going to involve Kawhi in like pick and rolls, which is great. And part of this is based on Pat Beverly staying on the court again, too. Because I think that really what they should do is they should basically, whenever this game gets tight, be it in the second quarter, if they feel like things are, you know, getting away from them a little bit defensively, or be it in the fourth quarter when you're closing the game, right? I would go with Kawhi Leonard on Nikola Jokic, and I would have one of Paul George or Patrick Beverly on Jamal Murray. That's how I'd close the game. And they did do that with Paul George on Jamal Murray in game six. And like that, I think was really smart. But because they had to play Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell and some of these other guys that didn't really have it defensively in that game, Landry Shamet being one of them as well, there were too many other holes for Denver to exploit. If you can find a way to play small, play with only one bad defender on the court, I think that that causes Denver enough problems. And there are ways to do it as long as Pat Beverly stays relatively out of foul trouble. Like, you can play Paul George, Pat Beverly, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Morris, Jamichael Green. That's a totally competent lineup that has five good defenders and I think would probably cause Denver some issues.
It's a totally reasonable idea. I wish that the Clippers had tried it earlier.
Yeah, so do
and
I.
And just like I think Roddy Magruder and some of the other stuff. But yep. One of the other kind of hard things to reconcile about the nature of the Game 5 and 6 comebacks is that a portion of them, not the entire thing, has come starters versus starters when starters versus starters was such a demolition in the first half.
Yep.
So you kind of run into these situations like, well, these guys were good enough before. What's going on now? And some of it is the Clippers in both of these games have been hot on threes in the first half and then cooled off in the second, just like you would never expect a team to be like 9 of 16 on threes for both halves. Like, that would be too much to ask.
That's the funny thing about the Clippers, and I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but like, to me, the Clippers are the most... Like, people talk about the three-point line and, like, teams that are jump-shooting dependent